Throughout this Lenten season, we have spent a great deal of time reflecting on a simple but profound phrase for us. Again and again, we have returned to it, hearing it in the scriptures, confessing it in our worship, and letting it shape how we understand the work of Christ. Today, on Maundy Thursday, our Lord himself teaches us how to hear and understand these words. In the Holy Gospel, Jesus gives the key when he says, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." With these words spoken on the night before he's betrayed, Jesus tells not only what he is about to do, but how his saving work is meant to be received. These words were spoken in the upper room, where Jesus has gathered with his disciples for one final meal. They are his closest friends, those who have walked with him, those who have listened to him, those who have struggled to understand him, and yet have been loved by him to the end. Together they are celebrating the Passover, that great feast of Israel's deliverance, the night when the angel of death passed over the homes marked by the blood of the Lamb. It was the night when God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, sending plague after plague after plague until Pharaoh finally relented, and then leading his people through the Red Sea on dry ground. Each year, the Passover did more than simply recall these events. It bound the people of Israel to that night, drawing them into the story of God's saving work and shaping them as his redeemed people. Yet even that deliverance came at a cost. The blood of a lamb, the judgment of death, the suffering that preceded freedom. But on this night, the cost will be greater still. Jesus gathers his disciples not simply to remember what God once did, but to reveal what God is now doing. When he takes the bread and gives it to them, when he takes the cup and places it into their hands, it becomes clear that this meal is no longer just another Passover celebration. Jesus is giving them something new, something deeper, something final. He's not merely giving bread and wine, but his very body and blood given and shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. In these words, Jesus reveals the meaning of his death. His life will be sacrificed, not as a tragic accident or a political miscalculation, and not as the fate of yet another teacher crushed under Roman power, but as the deliberate saving act of God. He is not simply one rabbi among many. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yet we may stumble over his words. Why does Jesus say for many and not for everyone? Why not simply say for you? The phrase for many is not meant to narrow the gift, but to magnify it. It does not exclude, it assures. Jesus is declaring that the sacrifice is not for a small or hidden group, but for a great multitude, so vast that you are certainly included. Scripture elsewhere makes this clear when it tells us that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The blood of Christ is sufficient for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus says for many, he is saying that this gift is large enough, powerful enough, and gracious enough to include you. Today, for many means for you. Today, Jesus gives of himself in a way that unlike anything else the world has ever known. No God imagined by human hands gives his own flesh and blood for the salvation of the world. No God stoops so low, loves so deeply, or gives so completely. No God except Jesus. And this gift does not stand alone, detached from the story of God's people. What Jesus does in the upper room belongs to the great unfolding work of God's salvation, a work that stretches back to the very beginning of time. Far from being in something entirely new, this is the fulfillment of what God has always been doing. We catch a glimpse of this in the Old Testament reading from Exodus. Moses takes the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkles it both on the altar and on the people, sealing the covenant between God and Israel. Then he brings Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel up Mount Sinai. And there, the scripture says something astonishing. They saw the God of Israel. And yet, God does not strike them down. He doesn't raise his hand against them. Instead, he tells us, they beheld God and ate and drank. To see God and to live is no small thing. Only those made holy may stand in his presence. The sacrifice had been offered. The blood had been applied. And so these men enter God's presence not in fear, but in peace, as his forgiven and covenant people. In his presence, they eat and drink. Here already, God is teaching his people how he saves, through sacrifice, through blood, and through his gracious presence given to his people. All of this finds fulfillment in Christ. Jesus' blood was shed for you on the cross. That sacrifice atones. That pays for your sin once and for all. It has been made. You have been washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb. In your baptism, Christ's blood has been applied to you, claiming you as his own, forgiving your sins, making you a new creation. And because of his great work for your salvation, you may stand before God, not in terror, but in peace. You may come to his table, not as a stranger, but as a beloved child. Luther captures this confession beautifully in his hymn, O Lord, We Praise Thee, written for the Lord's Supper. In this hymn, Luther does not speculate about what the sacrament might mean, nor does he turn our attention inward to our feelings or our worthiness. Instead, he directs us squarely to Christ and to what Christ has done and now continues to give. He puts these words in our lips as a confession of faith in the gift Christ places into our hands this day. The holy body into death was given, life to win for us in heaven. No greater love than this to thee could bind this, us. May this feast therefore of remind us, O Lord, have mercy. Lord, thy kindness did so constrain thee, that thy blood should bless and sustain me. All our debt thou hast paid. Peace with God once more is made. O Lord, have mercy. This is what this day delivers to you. Here Christ gives what he has promised. His body given, his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Here peace with God is not imagined, but bestowed. Not hoped for, but received. So come to the table of the Lord. Receive the gifts that only he can give. And rest assured that when Jesus says, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, he truly means for you, here and now. Amen.